Starting and building within an industry where there's already competition can be difficult, but how do you separate your company and how do you make sure that the market understands your company is the one that they need? I had a great chat with Chris from Fireflies. He is so smart about this, and they created a company at Fireflies that really got off the ground quickly. They were able to use some of the stuff that's happening within the world with the pandemic and accelerate through that. But definitely check out what Chris has to say and hear his journey. I think it's going to resonate with what you might be trying to do.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
And welcome to Sastery in the Making. Super glad to have you here. Thank you very much for coming. I appreciate you watching and listening. This is the show that helps you accelerate your SaaS company so you can get more revenue, more closed deals, and have a better company. And I'm really, really excited today. I'm joined by Chris Ramanini. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So glad to have you here. Let me tell everybody about you, Chris. Chris is the CEO at Fireflies.ai, and really what they're doing at Fireflies, they're automating work from meetings. So it brings the voice of the customer to every person inside your organization. Chris loves building and scaling products and platforms and APIs that simplify the way people work. He's deeply invested in voice AI, RPA, enterprise workflow software, and been featured on the cover of Entrepreneur Magazine, 12 Founders Changing Business 2020. So he certainly knows his stuff. I think you're going to get a lot out of him. And Chris, once again, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. So tell me what's going on with you lately and what's coming up.
Yeah. So Fireflies was started right around the pandemic time, or at least we launched right before in January 2020. There were several years of work that we put in before that. I think we were lucky with the launch time as well. As the pandemic came, everyone went remote, video conferencing took center stage, and then Fireflies became widely adopted inside organizations. In a nutshell, you described it really well. We're able to help people transcribe, summarize, analyze their meetings, sales calls, HR meetings, recruiting meetings, you name it. So any voice conversation that happens in a meeting format, we're able to create an automated knowledge base out of it. So as you can tell, during the pandemic, everyone went remote and video conferencing was basically how we did work, right? Or interacted with anyone at work. So it became more center stage around that time.
It's so funny how timing can be everything, and or at least a lot of things. But I know that a lot of people had struggles with the pandemic, but there's also a lot of products and tools and people who saw success with that. By the way, I'm one of those. For my company was launched right around the exact same time in terms of my coaching company. And people realized that they needed scale and they didn't know how to do it in a changing world. And they needed help doing that. So they came to me. But I totally understand how with your product that would work. But you built it and started developing it years before that. So what inspired you to create Fireflies? How did it all get started?
Yeah, so I was previously a PM at Microsoft. Afterwards, I was supposed to go to grad school at Cambridge. Decided to actually go spend a summer with my co-founder and MIT. We were always fascinated about language and, you know, all these products that are out there. Like NLP was super fascinating for us. And how can you get the most value out of understanding conversation? So that was our thesis. Well before Fireflies had started, around 2017, that's what we focused in on was, hey, how do we like build tools that can help people be more effective and productive? So one area happened to be emails. Like we said, can we analyze emails and help organize the most important emails for you to respond to? So that was one of our first products. Our next product was a Chrome extension that, as I have conversations across Slack and LinkedIn and Messenger, it would track down all the action items or things that I'm promising to do and create an automatic to-do list from it. So wow, that's another productivity hack. This was well before we understood SaaS or, you know, enterprise sales or any of that stuff. We were like, let's just build cool products that people want to use and be more productive. So we went through 3-4 iterations like this. We did a project with a healthcare company where they have these voice badges for nurses and doctors to interact. And how can we do like voice commands, like bring like the power of Siri and Alexa into those like voice badges. So we did a lot of these different projects, literally anything to bootstrap and let us pay the bills. Later we realized like, hey, you know, all of these are cool, but in order to really get traction, we need to pick something or an area that has fundamental value where people are going to use it every day. And it's a must have and not a nice to have. And so from there, that's where the starting of Fireflies came, because we said, look, we're having tons of these conversations with advisors, investors, customers. We're trying to document everything. And it is such a hassle. I wish there was just someone that I could hire to do it for me. So if I had like a virtual assistant that can take notes and organize all my meetings. But obviously, when you are not well funded early on and you're paying bills out of your own pocket, you can't afford to have an assistant. So we said, why don't we build one ourselves and we'll automate it? And so that's what led to the formation of Fireflies, the AI note taker that many people see on their meetings. And yeah, that was the start of the journey. And we really started with building something we ourselves would use. And then we had our friends use it. And then Fireflies became more and more viral because other people would see it in meetings and then ask about it. And that's where things started to take off.
That's so fun, that inflection point where things start to really kick in. I've had that happen a few times myself. It's just an exciting time as a founder, isn't it?
It definitely is a roller coaster. There are days where you are very excited about what you're doing, and there's other days where you're wondering, why am I doing this? Because it can be chaotic, and you have to be in 100 different places. There's a dozen different fires that are burning, but it is a whirlwind, like in terms of how many experiences you can gain, what you can learn. Every day is interesting. There is no boring day.
Yeah, that's so true. I think that speaks for all of us as founders. So what are some of the best use cases? You mentioned HR, you mentioned sales. Like where are people using this and how is it exactly driving results for them?
Yeah, so the fascinating thing about Fireflies is that it could be any org inside of your company that starts using it. It could be one person, it could be 10 people that start using it. And then slowly, other teams interact. You'll have team meetings across different departments. And then they see it and they're like, oh, this is cool. I like how you're using it. Let me start using it as well. So you could start with one person and then quickly Fireflies could be used by 100 or 200 people inside of your organization. It could start with your sales calls and then the salesperson creating sound bites or snippets from those calls and then sharing it to the product team, saying, hey, this is what the customer wants, or these are the feature requests or the bugs or the complaints. It could happen the other way around, where a product team has a roadmap meeting and then they share it with marketing and saying, hey, here's all the things we have planned for the next quarter, so we need marketing content related to this. You know, support could have some conversations and then they share it over with customer success. So there's a lot of this documentation, knowledge capture and sharing that happens. So every knowledge worker needs that sort of tools, right? I keep mentioning sales because like a third of our users are in sales. We realize that every customer has different needs. So for example, salespeople need to have analytics around how many times a competitor came up or objections that came up on a call. So we built that. Like HR would want to be able to analyze skill sets that are being brought up in calls. Like how many times are they saying, hey, this is my experience in JavaScript, or this is how I use Node, or this is how well-versed I'm in running ML models. So being able to help track all of these different conversations and the different parts of these conversations and really provide intelligence, right? So the first part was recording, transcription, organization. Then it was search and summarization. And then now it's intelligence and analytics. And then we also have workflows so that people can, after a call, automatically be logged inside of your CRM or share the recap to Slack. So how can we actually get work done itself right after the meeting happens or right while the meeting is happening, so I don't have to send out a bunch of follow-ups after?
Wow, that sounds amazing. And one of the things I loved in there is the cross-department communication and making sure that everybody's on the same page. Because I think with growing organizations, different departments can kind of become siloed. And I'm sure you've seen that. And it's definitely a struggle for a lot of companies at that space or at that level. And so it sounds like this is kind of helping to eliminate, reduce conflict and confusion between those silos.
Yeah, so it helps with like that transparency culture that organizations bring, especially if you're a remote or a hybrid setup. Right now, almost every company is hybrid of some nature. We actually started Fireflies in a world where everyone was in the office. So the idea was you'd bring the AI note taker into your video conferencing or conference room setup, right? Like where you'll have that little system and then it would join in and capture the audio from the conference room. So we went from that era to now where even if you have 10 people in the office, you might have 5 people that are remotely joining into the meeting. So there is always this idea that meetings are expensive, right? There's been countless studies on how many times corporate people waste time in meetings, right? Like it's very expensive. You have repeat meetings because so-and-so didn't attend or so-and-so missed this part of the meeting last week. And you have so many repeat meetings, so many people going back and forth talking about the same stuff. I don't like to ever repeat myself. Like, so I feel like, hey, we had this, we made this decision a week ago. Go ahead and listen to the Fireflies recap, right? If you want to get more context, or if we're onboarding new people on into the company, I can send them like, hey, here's some of our best sales calls. I've marked all the best parts of the calls. And I've flagged all the questions that were asked on the calls by our salesperson versus the customer. Just jump through these. And within, you know, 5 minutes, you can review a 30-minute sales call and really be up to speed. So it reduces the amount of additional oversight and communication you need to have to repeat things. As a founder, you're going to be repeating things a lot of times, right? And you're going to have to tell the same things to multiple different people, set the context for multiple different people. So in that way, Fireflies helps me on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's super cool. I love that. And really focusing on your own company, you talked about how you guys got started and when you launched, but how'd you guys do it? You know, in terms of your own growth, what were some of the best strategies you guys implemented and you made along the way?
Yeah, we had a lot more of the unconventional route in terms of how we went about it. Like I said, we were bootstrapped in the early days. We raised our seed round in late 2019. We spent a few months going heads down, finishing up from beta to production. So we had customers and we were in beta in 2019 as we were raising our funding. 2020, January, we launched. And then it was absolutely insane, like in a good way, but also in a crazy way, because you have to have the platform scale for all that volume, right? You can support 10 calls. You can support 100 calls. Can you support 1,000, 10,000, million? Like, and so scaling and architecture is very, very like difficult. Also, we were building a platform that from day one, our vision was let's democratize AI, right? That's such a noble vision. But like, what does that actually mean? There's people talk about AI. It's really cool, but it's not very practical, right? You hear about it in research papers and PhD programs. But we said like, okay, there is this cool AI technology. There's this transcription. There's this machine learning. There's this natural language technology. Now you have OpenAI, GPT-3. You have all of this cool technology, but what does it mean to the end user? And how can we actually build something that someone would use where they're leveraging the power of this technology? Even like 20%, 30% of this technology. So for us, we had this all like noble vision, you know, like every person inside an organization should be able to have their own AI assistant that helps them complete work during meetings. So it was very different from a selling point of view, because now you're trying to support hundreds of thousands of end users to millions of end users, like a SaaS, like a consumer product almost. Whereas you're in a B2B space, because, you know, there's B2B companies that are enterprise where their entire market might be only 500 companies, and they're only going to have like 10,000 licenses, like, and they're charging $1,000 per license. So that's a very different model. It's less engineering intensive. It's more sales and marketing intensive. Our strength was product and engineering from day one. So now you're supporting all these users, and it's like a product that someone uses every single day, not something that someone will use once a week to go update a form or field. So now there's this responsibility because people are using it every day. There's trust. Like, I can be late to a meeting, but Fireflies can't. It has to show up every day around the clock. In the last 1 year, we saw that like Fireflies has attended 1,000 human years worth of meetings, right? So
wow,
that's insane. Like that's like the sort of engineering and stuff you have to build. So it was definitely a challenge kind of growing the business from a technology point of view. The analogy I like to use is usually for founders, finding product market fit is the hardest thing, right? Because you're going to spend all this time and energy building something, then you're going to hope someone uses it. And you waste a lot of cycles in between trying to see like, okay, do I need to make iterations? Should I drop this? Should I pivot to another idea? So we had the same challenges as everyone else, right? Usually people that are second time founders, third time founders, senior executives that are coming from an industry and really like know their problem space well enough, they can navigate that product market fit area a little bit better. Not perfectly, but a little bit better. So they have a little bit of an advantage there. So we were like, darn, like everything we build, it's really cool. We're excited about it, but the adoption isn't quite the same. Like the appetite for something isn't the same. And the reason is it's very hard to change human behavior, user behavior, to get someone to do something different, right? There could be the coolest technology out in the world, but if someone's like, I like to use pen and paper and that's it, it's very hard to change their mind. Like people don't like change unless it's like 10x better or unless it's very easy to adopt, right? So even thinking about where we were a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago, like from the flip phones to the smartphones, it has to be 10x better. The smartphone was bringing you internet, it was bringing you music, you can do GPS, all of that. And that was enough. And it was easy to use. It was delightful. So in the same way, you have to make something that's powerful, it's 10x, but you can't make it complicated. So that is the fundamental challenge. And so when we were deciding on building a product and a company, we said, you know what, screw it. It doesn't matter how hard it is. I need to make it so that it's something that people care about and they would want to use. And then I'll work backwards and figure out the technology afterwards. It's like the same thing. If we have Elon Musk coming out and saying, hey, we're going to have this Hyperloop train that's going to take you from, you know, San Francisco to New York in 2 hours. Of course, I'd want that. Like that's instead of flying for 6 hours or driving for like 5 days, I would want like a train that takes me from SF to New York in 2 hours. Now you got people interested like in this idea. Now you have to go back and actually say like, okay, how is this feasible from an engineering point of view? That's the whole idea model with Tesla. They built something people want, like with the whole self-driving, the auto assist. And then they're like, okay, looks like there's appetite for it. Now we need to go build it. So it's an engineering challenge. It's very different. Yeah.
I love that. And that same 10X rule we can apply in sales. So we talk about it a lot. I talk about it with my clients. But once you can get the buyer to quantify their problem, their challenge, and figure that out, as long as your system saves at least 10 times or generates at least 10 times more, then you've got an opportunity to be able to close them. So I love that 10X rule. I think it applies in a lot of places. That's a great example of it. Now, what are some of the mistakes that you guys made back in the day that, you know, you look back and you say, oh man, I wish we could have avoided that. Or wish we made a different decision. What are some of those things?
Yeah. Hindsight bias is 2020. So obviously in the early days, you don't know what's going to work. So you're going to throw a bunch of different ideas. You're going to package up something, you're going to duct tape it together and just see it, right? Because you're trying to be agile, you're trying to be fast. And then once it starts working, you're like, oh, I wish I'd built it right from day one, from the ground up. So we had the luxury between 2019 to 2020 to do that after we raised our seed round. We're saying we have some semblance of traction. This is interesting. Let's now go re-engineer it. And those 6 months from the time we raised funding, or a little less than that, like that quarter was so critical, because if we didn't do that, we say, okay, this is great, let's just go to market with it, we wouldn't have been able to handle the onslaught that came from 2020, like adoption. We would have just, like, the hardest part after you find product market fit, and will always be the hardest part, is execution and then staying relevant. Because your product will have to keep executing, keep improving. It is not glamorous, right? Every single day, every little bug. And you have to have that DNA, right? And if you're like a perfectionist and you want everything perfect for day one, you're never going to launch. You're just going to keep building. If you're someone that's just going to throw something together and put it out there, you're going to have to be ready to like fix a lot of things on the fly. So they have to find a middle ground, especially now in SaaS. The bar for a good product is a lot higher than it ever was before. So you can't just put together a hack and launch it. Like, you actually have to put time and energy into building something, because there's so many other SaaS products out there, and you have to, and the bar has been raised.
So true. There is a lot of competition. It's a lot of other stuff happening out there, and people with their own goals and dreams. So how are you separating yourselves from your competition? I mean, there's other companies that do something similar. How do you guys kind of create that separation so people say Fireflies is the one?
Yeah, for us, we actually really focus and care about what the end user is doing. We're all about the grassroots. And the best value or the best statement that we can get is, so when an end user is able to recommend Fireflies to other people. And so today we actually don't spend any money on marketing. All of the growth we've had to date, 99% of it, like, has come from us getting user generated usage, virality, adoption, word of mouth. Word of mouth is the best form of marketing. We were able to build something that was fortunately viral, because meetings are viral. You see the note taker, people have conversations, they talk about it, and then it starts to like grow from there. So we've had to spend a lot of time thinking about it, engineering the platform for that. So that's helped us grow a lot during the pandemic and then beyond. We're actually growing faster now than we did during the pandemic. So that's been very, you know, exciting to also see. But bottoms up growth takes time. But once it happens, it's like an avalanche. Everyone sees it, right? Like Fireflies has been in meetings across 300,000 different organizations, 70% of the Fortune 500. So like all of this is coming through word of mouth and users sharing the platform with other people. And our approach is also, let's price very effectively, right? Like a similar solution in the market costs $120 per seat per month. For us, we're charging $10 to $20 per seat, depending on the tier that you join. Because we want to make it priced for scale so that you can get every person inside your organization using this technology, not just your three sales reps, right? So that's also a vision that we have. And we're also bringing a lot of the technology that historically have been limited to enterprise software, right? Like the high price point, like $50,000, $100,000 software. We're able to now bring that stuff too. Like one of the biggest things we did last quarter was bring all of this intelligence and analytics that are usually historically associated with enterprise products. With Fireflies, the end users love it because they get an AI note taker. It's automating their meeting notes, helping them review their meetings, fills out their CRM, gets them super effective. And then managers and teams find value because they are able to now coach, train, document, and do analysis on calls, like which with a simple, easy to use product was not possible. You had to go buy clunky enterprise software, set it up, do a 6-month deployment, pay huge fees up front before you see any value. With Fireflies, you're set up within 5 minutes, your end users like it. And we always believe if the end users like it, and the managers have an easy way of managing it, that's the perfect recipe for success. Zoom's done it, Slack's done it, Dropbox, Box, all of these guys have done it. So I'm a big believer in that product-led growth model.
Very cool. So Krish, what advice would you have for other software founders who are starting out?
I would definitely say that you have to focus on that one area, one thing that makes you better. So that differentiator, it could be that a design differentiator. It could be a feature differentiator. It's very hard in the early days to say like, okay, I'm going to build an end-to-end platform like this $10 billion business, right? It's very hard. I would also say don't feel like just because there's competition, you need to shy away. If there's competition, that means there's a market and there's probably an underserved market that you can build a niche around. So a lot of times like the typical advice used to be, oh no, there's another big player in there, stay away, right? Because like, what's the chance? But if you think about all of these big companies that have been formed, they came into markets where there were historically big players and they've grown into that addressable market, right? Recently you heard about Figma getting bought for crazy amounts of money, $20 billion by Adobe. But Adobe was like the king of that market, right? Like they had Photoshop, they had Premiere Pro, they had Adobe After Effects, they had a full suite of design tools as well. And now you're going up and building Figma, which is like a tool that's only going to be in the browser, right? How do you compete? So there is a market there. If there is a market, there is competition, that means there is opportunity. So you have to find your differentiator into it and don't be afraid of competition.
I love that. I think that's fantastic advice, and I echo that for sure. So, Krish, this has been so much fun. How can our audience learn more about you and Fireflies?
Yeah, so anyone can sign up for free and get started with Fireflies at fireflies.ai. You may have seen it in your meetings, which we would absolutely love. You can also follow us on LinkedIn. I'm more active as well now on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. So Fireflies AI, if you're able to look that up, and I'll share the details afterwards as well.
Okay, perfect. And we'll put all that in the show notes so everybody sees it. But Krish, thanks so much for coming on and sharing everything. This has been really cool.
Absolutely, Matt. Get me excited about SaaS. So this is something I'd love to always talk about.
Likewise. But I'm so glad you came. So thank you for that. And thank you, everybody else out there. Really glad you were here. Hope you got a lot out of it. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. Hit that subscribe right now. That way you're not going to miss out on any more awesome innovators and creators like Krish. Thank you for coming. And we will see you next time. Take care. We'll be right back.